who had contracted AIDS. He was in a hospital situation. Somehow he'd contracted AIDS. Never did quite find the source, I don't believe. However, we all knew he was terminal. He knew he was terminal. He did well for quite some time. But that's what we knew. And after a while, he needed to be at home, just bedridden, for the most part. Occasionally, I would pick him up and bring him out somewhere, about once a week or so. But after a while, he needed to stay at home until the end. During that period when he was at home, early on, some of our other parishioners were quite concerned about him, and so they would stop by. And one person in particular would go and try to, pep him up and make him feel better. Stiff upper lip and whatever it was he told him, I have no idea. I mean, it was a very faithful man who went to visit him and really had the best intentions. But I asked our friend when I went to see him and bring him communion, I said, well, I know that there's people seeing you. How's that going? Do you need anybody to stop coming? And he said, yes. So I got in touch with our other friend, who is a very faithful and humble man, loved Jesus. And when I said, it's better if you don't come, he said, fine, immediately. No problems, no offense. He just said, fine. And as I thought about that, what struck me was that our friend at home who was sick was already going through a transition. And some who were going to see him wanted to get it back to the way it was. And that wasn't good for anyone. Just not good for anyone. He eventually did die, and we had an incredibly powerful funeral time for him and gave him into the hands of the Lord, which was going to be the reality that he was going to. Between his diagnosis and his death was the transition into that. Now, that's a rather dramatic example of how this happens. However, what I want to point out is that process of going through transition is the way of the Lord. And when we say prepare the way of the Lord, what we're saying is, I'm in a transition, and I need you, Jesus, to bring me through it, because I can't get through it myself. One of the things to keep in mind is that there is a great difference between change and transition. Change is an objective, factual occurrence. Something changes. There you are. Transition is the process that goes on after that change happens. And the transition brings you to the new reality, the new situation that change introduced. But that transition is very, very necessary to go through. And the biblical term for transition is wilderness. When Israel was released from Egypt, that was a big change. Objective, miraculous change, bam. And then they go into the desert or the wilderness, and those 40 years was the 40 years of preparing the nation of Israel for the promise they had yet to receive, which was a new homeland. That is the purpose of every season of transition and wilderness that you and I go through. That there is promises from God that we have yet to receive, yet to embrace, yet to walk in, and the wilderness or the transition prepares our soul for the new capacity, the new promise that we've yet to receive. And that is always the way of the Lord. That is exactly what the way of the Lord is. It is the transition, increasing the capacity of our souls for the promise that we've yet to receive. Even if we've heard the promise, know what it is, and are able to describe it, and pray for it and all kinds of things about it, but we don't have it, we will be going through a wilderness to get there. And that'll be a time of waiting and sometimes a time of pain, a time of all kinds of things that we would call negative, and even be tempted to think that they were not Christian, that Jesus wouldn't want us to have this kind of experience because that's what happens to Christians. However, it is what happens to Christians because it is not only just coincidental, it is in fact the way of the Lord. Is everybody okay? Good. I'm not sure I am, but that's all right. We can keep going from here on out. I want you to take note in the gospel reading today, the last paragraph as it appears in the bulletin, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Now this, of course, is John the Baptist and his ministry, and it's very, very interesting to me that the ministry that announces the presence of Jesus is located in the wilderness. Did you notice that? John the Baptist is out there in the desert, in the wilderness, announcing the wonderful things of Jesus right there. In that symbolic place where that tells us we're going to go through a time of stretching at best, crucifixion normally, to get to the promises that God has for us. And that is the purpose of waiting. It's the purpose of the things of God. It is what Jesus wants for us to go through. So, here's John the Baptist, and he is saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, another legitimate translation of that particular sentence is this: the voice of one crying, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. See, the first way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The voice is out in the wilderness telling us who are somewhere comfortable, you know, Jesus is coming. We're thinking, great. However, this other translation, which is legitimate, a voice of one crying, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You, the hearer, are in the wilderness. Which, by the way, I think is where we are most of the time. That's where we are. And what we are called to do is prepare the way of the Lord. Now, what he's talking about here is that a lot of times when a king of one country went to visit the king of another country, they would, you know, get on horses or whatever, coaches, whatever, however they got there, however that king traveled. And part of the king's entourage was to take care of making sure the king could get there. And what they had to do from one country to another was go through a wilderness. And there were some roads in the wilderness, but not too many. And there was no Department of Transportation to take care of the quality of the roads. So the king had to have part of the entourage of people going ahead of the coach to make sure that the road was passable. I mean, not comfortable, passable. Just whatever. And there were occasions. Some of you are thinking that's the way the Department of Transportation is today. That's another matter. Back then, in the wilderness, they needed to make it passable. And sometimes the road would have to be planed. How they did that, I have absolutely no idea. But it would have to be planed because it would be so rough, so difficult. And we even got a picture of that. Every valley shall be filled up, every mountain made low. Something had to happen so that you could get from one place to another through the wilderness, which is the way of the Lord for us individually. Some people, there was a kind of a Jewish legend that said the roads in the wilderness were made by the pillar of fire and cloud that led Israel through the wilderness. And the tracks of that were left behind were the roads the people went on from one place to another. You can imagine how difficult it was to make a road in the wilderness when it had to be the power of God, some kind of pillar of fire making a road. How difficult it would be for us to do that. But that's what they did. And that's the picture that John the Baptist is calling on. And he's quoting the prophet Isaiah when he does that. It's a very powerful picture ingrained in the Jewish mindset. And it tells us we're going to go through that all the time. And the purpose of that wilderness is for you and I to have a greater capacity, a capacity for the promises that God has given us that we have yet to receive. If you are promised 10 gallons of water and all you have is a 5-gallon bucket, you're not going to be able to hold the promised amount until your capacity increases. And God will increase the capacity of your soul by bringing you into a wilderness, a transition, a period of shifting, of doing something you've never done before, of leaving something behind so that you can get to something new. And in between is a very uncomfortable, disconcerting, crucifying period. And that's what happens with us. That's what we celebrate in Advent. Now, how do you do it? What do you do for that to go on? What are the ways that you respond? Well, I want to give you three steps, three possibilities, three ideas. And one is to redream. Another is to recapture. And the other is to reorganize. So they all start with R so that I can remember them and tell them to you. When you are redreaming, this is what happens. You have gone through a change. Something is left behind that will never be again. You had it before, but it's not going to be around any longer. It's like when our oldest went from middle school to high school. The ease of middle school was left behind, never to be had again. High school became that wilderness. So in the greater, nonetheless, well, you get the idea. Same with us. However, what you had before the change, you had from God. And if you had a dream, a desire, that is God-given, and you do, and something changes and it looks like you're never going to get there, you're in the wilderness. And the wilderness is not so that you can let go of that and just forget about it. It is to prepare you and increase you so you can receive that promise. And when you redream, when you capture that dream again, what happens is that you are now in a place to see that dream differently. Just like you're standing here looking at it, then something changes and you start moving through the wilderness and now you stand here and you can see it differently. And from there, you have that, you restart it, you revisit it, you redo it, you look at it again, you recapture it. It's the second step. You embrace it again, knowing that you're different. Very, very important to do. It's usually not all that, glitzy. Because your temptation will be to let it go altogether and move on to something else and go where people like you or it's going to work for you or something like that. But God has given something to you. And when things changed, it doesn't mean that he took it away from you. It means that he has given it to you in a deeper, more powerful, better way for you by increasing your capacity. And when you recapture it, you recapture something with it that you did not have that when you originally had that dream. And one of the best ways that you know that that's going on is if you miss something. If you miss something that you don't have anymore. You had it before and you loved it and you thought, this is great. This is God. This is why I was born. And then there's a change and it's not there anymore. And you miss it. It doesn't mean it's over. It means something is coming into your life with that promise and that dream that was greater than when you first dreamt it. I shared a bit of that in the summer, talking about my experience at my father's death, where now both my parents are gone, and that there's something within me, within my soul, clicked about my calling and who I am. There's something, and I miss my dad every day, as I'm sure you do whose parents are gone. There's something about that which has, for me, a sense of calling on my life that I never had before. I mean, I always had a sense of calling, but there's something about that calling now that I hear more clearly, that is lighter, that has a deeper drive. There's something about it. As I move through that wilderness of grief, it goes to a new reality, a new place I didn't have before. But it's the same promise, just recaptured with the other things that Jesus wants to give with it. That's the way that it is. Every calling you have, every ministry you're called to, everything Jesus desires of you will die and be buried and rise again. The purpose of waiting to get to that resurrection. And then what happens after that is you begin reorganizing your life. And you reorganize it according to the steps of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives you as you follow. And you reorganize your life because you now have a greater capacity. You have something more than what you had before. And there is not only within your soul, but the promise is greater than it was before. And you begin organizing things so that you can run with that. As Jesus gives you direction, the next step I want you to take is this, the Spirit of God will say to you. You take that step and you're reorganizing your life so that you can move into the position and place that Jesus has for you. And then you get into that and you're just going along great and it'll happen again. You go through the wilderness again and off you go into the next level of that promise. Now I want to give you one more example of this. Because, you know, I just to be transparent with you, I don't like any of this one bit. I'd just rather not wait. I'd rather not go through any of that. I'd rather not have any wilderness. I'd rather just go step up, one next step up, next step up. But I don't, because I'm following Jesus. And that's the way he went. Now, here's the example. And it has to do with the way St. Francis has gone in its history. And some of you will remember the previous vicar to me, David Niemeyer, wonderful guy. Some of you will not. God bless you because you've joined since he left. And God bless you because you joined after, before David was here and all this. But one day, David shows up to the vestry and says, I'm going to leave St. Francis. I want to submit to you, as shocking as that was, that it was an objective fact and a change. That's a change. The search committee was formed and the wilderness began. Right, Pete? You've gone through that period in the life of a congregation together where we're just looking around. Who are we? What's a strategic plan? What do we want? All these kinds of things are going on. That's a wilderness. And then we got into that process where the vestry invited me to come, and I show up, And the wilderness deepened. Didn't go away, as almost all of you would attest to, including myself. The wilderness just deepened at that point. And the reason the wilderness deepened at that point was because now together, the soul of St. Francis was expanding its capacity for the promise that St. Francis has yet to receive. So, David leaves, and the search committee starts, and the vestry together, starts redreaming. And then we go along a little bit, and you think, who are we going to invite to come? Yours truly shows up, and we try to start recapturing. And now we're at a point where the wilderness, I guess, is just about over. And we're reorganizing. And we're reorganizing so that we can receive the promise for which St. Francis began in the first place, more deeply and more fully and more widely than we had before. And it is necessary to go from that point of change through that wilderness to that point of promise. And every time we follow Jesus, in every endeavor in which we follow Jesus, that will be the pattern. And some of the things that we're tempted to do during that time is to think, how can we stay at the recapture? How can we stay at the place where things were going on and we liked it, or it was good, or whatever it was, to getting back to what it was before the change happened? And the truth of the matter is, after a change happens, you can't get there from here. Just can't get there. The change has happened, and there's no way back. What there is a way to go forward, where what we held and valued and grew in comes with us, and it becomes a wider, richer form of a promise that is greater than what we had received before. And that's just hard work. It's just hard work. And it dredges up stuff within us that we'd rather not have dredged up, because we prefer that not happen. We prefer to follow Jesus in a way that it's always good and always easy and always uplifting. And he just doesn't go there. I'd rather have the full promise after going through the wilderness than a part of the promise and never setting foot in a desert. I'd rather have the riches of his grace as he prepares me to receive in a way that I can't receive it now, than to keep things as they always were. Now, I'm not just change for change's sake. I want the grace. I want the promise. I want the things Jesus talked about. It's not because I'm bored. I'm not easily bored. I could do the same thing every day from now for the rest of my life. You know, like Groundhog Day, just get up and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. I'm fine with that. Except I'm more fine. Yeah, right, stop that, girl. Except I'm more fine with the promise that I've yet to receive, and I know I need to change to get there. I know I need to expand to get there. I know I need to let go of things to get there. I know that there is a thread of gold that is started from before time in my life. And that thread has gone through everything that I have experienced, has gone through every wilderness that I have, and will go through to the promise that I receive. What I need to do is hold on to the thread and not to what I just thought was so wonderful before, the things I liked, the way that I liked it, the coffee at the strength I like to drink it. Just let go of all that for the gold of God and His Word and His promise going straight through to the fuller promise that is yet to come. For that, I will give up doing things the same every single day from here on out. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to consider. What is the wilderness you are in? What change has happened to you at some time recently, and now you're in a wilderness that God has brought you into? For some of it, it's very large. For some of it, not so big, but it's still there. Can you lean on the Spirit of God to redream, recapture, and then reorganize your life? While you're doing that, can you run with St. Francis as we move into reorganizing things just somewhat, so that we can reach the full promise that is waiting for us in the next season? We're going to look at that in the next few months. January, we'll have our annual parish meeting, how that's going to be reorganized. Next week at the potluck at my table, I'll be looking at the five-year plan with those who want to look at it ahead of time. And if you have questions about it, I'll send it out to you this week. And if you want to ask questions about it then, that's fine. We can roll with that. And otherwise, we'll kind of formally roll it out in January. But all of that is all the same dynamic. Change, wilderness, promise. Please stand. Lord Jesus, we thank You. And we trust You, and we put our faith on You for all that You desire. We ask that You lead us through the wilderness into the promised land for the glory of Your name. Amen.